Welcome to the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, being brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their Checkoff. I'm Susan Littlefield. By the way, this is the KRVM studio for folks who have never seen it. That's where I'm at today. And another way to wrap up a crazy week of markets. I think I've never seen a roller coaster as good as it's been and as bad as it's been, depending on which side of the fence that you're on. We're going to take a look at what happened in these markets, why we saw the lows that we saw, why we saw the highs that we saw. And of course, we'll talk about that cattle report that some don't put a lot of weight into what government reports have to say. But of course, the markets did have a smidge of reaction. Stick around. A lot more is coming up as we continue.
Meet the champions of innovation in the heart of Nebraska. They're not just farmers, and they nurture more than just crops. Pushing boundaries and turning challenges into opportunities. They trade knowledge and know-how, and their dedication doesn't end at harvest. It's in your every bite and every drive. The future of food, fuel, and fiber, and the future of Nebraska starts right here.
Well, welcome back once again. It's going to be a great opportunity. We've got two folks that we're going to be talking to. John Payne joins us again with EdgePoint Global. And then we've got Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. And gentlemen, to say it was an up and down roller coaster of a week, I'm going to have each of you just kind of give me a quick synopsis of what you saw in the market trade. And Kyle, we'll start with you.
Well, I guess before we started broadcasting, we started talking about soybeans. And I think kind of want to hit on here is China's going on vacation here this week. They've got a holiday coming up. But looking at the macro picture, I think there's some economic woes over there. Their stock market made new low closes here last night for the week. It's just new low closes in their stock market. You've also had the metals complex down, particularly copper. The cotton market, it was up, but crude oil was down. So I think there's some demand issues there. But I think that's kind of tying back to China in a roundabout way. So watching those markets as a macro picture, and I think that kind of weighed down on the soybeans as well. Not to mention you've got South American harvest that the Brazilian farmers dumping their beans onto the market. So, yeah, there's going to be some hedge pressure going into harvest weekend.
All right, John, what do you see as a nutshell of this week's trade?
Well, I think Kyle, you know, mentioned the headlines first would be the soybean markets. We had new closes, low closes there for a lot of the deferreds as well, like Jan 25, March 25, getting back into next year. So, you know, this is a time of the year where we're going to see, you know, basis pressure there. So we had the Port of Santos close last week. I think that might have been what kind of got the market going into the close, or at least a midday of that rally we sharply saw. But, you know, that's what's going to drive the markets right now. You have shorts that are heavily in the market. You get a news, you know, flow that would be positive. I think they'll rip out of it. But without that, I think it's sideways to lower. And I think the carry just kind of eats you alive as we continue to sell off.
All right. I got to ask you, John, because you and I had talked earlier in the week when that announcement came of that big port closure and it said essential products only. Did we ever figure out what they described as what was essential that would be shipped?
No, and I haven't done a lot of follow-through reading on exactly if it even happened. But at this point, you know, it's going to fall on supply. I mean, there's just so much around there that needs to find in the short term that, you know, it's kind of like the, you know, buying a ticket for a really expensive football game. Like, everybody wants that one ticket, right? Well, that's kind of the way storage is in Brazil. So, you know, if you can't find a home, it's you're going to be left out, and then you've got to sell. And I think that's where the prices are discounting themselves right now. Just trying to find somebody who can say, hey, I'm not going to sell it. I'm going to put it in storage. But it's not as easy to do there. So we've seen basis fall across the week, and hopefully it'll bounce here. But that's not in the cards, at least up to this point.
Kyle, I see you shaking your head in agreement. What are your takeaway of these port rumors and what you saw within the trade?
Well, that's the question. What is essential? What's not essential? But I want to kind of look here. We did see some spreads move this week. Some spreads kind of get skewed. That May versus July, there's 10 cents carry out there. And that's kind of that's widened out here in the last few weeks. So that's basically saying that the commercial ledger is getting more comfortable with the supply and demand side of soybeans worldwide. We do have that Goldman roll that's going to be starting here next week, where they're going to be moving out of their March contracts, whether it's corn, beans, wheat. They're going to be getting out of those March contracts, moving out to the deferred. So when we see that this March May bean spread gained a quarter cent or a half cent here today, potentially at the close when it settles, is it really true, or was it just kind of skewed because of the volume? Were they getting out of some of those March shorts or some of those March positions already moving to the back? So I think there's a little bit of volume skew out there in some of these markets as well. And that's kind of dictating, you know, some false feelings here as far as bullishness in some of these markets.
What about the rumors of China? And either one of you can jump on this. I'd seen earlier in the week that China was supposedly going to be buying wheat from maybe France or something like that, but nothing ever really surfaced. Or is it just one of those rumors that were floating around?
I didn't hear anything on that. I think at this point, the beef, did you say beef?
No, on wheat.
Oh, on wheat, Chinese buying wheat. Yeah, the Chinese markets, if they're going to go, they're probably going to go to Europe at this point. But the Chinese, I mean, at this point, they're going to buy. They're going to continue to import. It's just where they're going to bring it in from. And anything that's not the U.S. is going to start to see demand. You'll see Brazilian demand. You'll see European wheat demand. You know, at this point, Argentina will come in. And that's where it's difficult for the U.S. to want to go out there and see a price rally, because it's like, who's gonna step out and want to buy? Right now, nobody's buying our product already. So, you know, I think the supply side has to do it. We see the farmer maybe come in here and reduce some spring acres, that can get the market off its lows.
So what about, I mentioned beef. Let's talk a little bit about beef. Kyle, a report that kind of came in this week, and you don't put a lot of weight into what happens, but obviously the markets did a little bit of reacting.
I think the markets reacted on higher cash trade this week, whether it's both cash fats or feeders. We did trade up towards that 178 to 180 mark here in some cash fats. I don't know the quality on those fats in the south there, but there was definitely some 179 and some light 180 trade. There was also 280 on a dress basis traded here in Nebraska, and a lot of cattle are getting shipped on a hot carcass or sold on the dress basis right now because of the mud tag and so the cash trade, I think. But to get back to the point about the cattle report, yeah, smallest herd since 1951. I'll get it. We're slaughtering a lot of cows. We're not retaining a lot of heifers for right now, but we are also making carcasses bigger than we were in the 50s as well. So we, as cows, still have just as much beef production. And if cheaper corn gets here with this carry that you're seeing in this fat cattle market, why not just roll your hedge out, feed them for another 30 days if corn's cheap? Cheap corn's going to make big cattle.
Well, and you bring that up, how much feeder push, and when I say feeder, I mean, we're pulling from these lower grain numbers to be able to maybe make some extra grain purchases. Good time for these guys to be looking at that?
I mean, I'm still hand to mouth with it right now. I mean, I have seen some basis push here in different parts of the countryside, you know, as far as that goes. The December corn contract, and we started today, looked like it was going to try to make sort of a bullish reversal here to the upside. So if a person wants to step out there, I would defend my... If I needed to get some needs locked up, I'd defend it with some option positions right now, because options are cheap. It's a buyer's market in options right now. It's not a seller's market. So volatility is very cheap in the grain options right now. So I'd personally be looking at buying calls. I wouldn't be selling any puts just yet to try to get a synthetic long in the market. Or if you've got the stone, step up, buy futures and run a stop below the lows.
All right, John, what's your thoughts? I mean, you and I talk livestock once in a while. Did you see any surprises in those numbers? Are you kind of in the same camp as Kyle? It's just another USDA report.
Well, I'm in the camp of those who don't really, I try not to adjust myself too much on what the USDA says. You know, I mean, I know they can move short-term money flow, but I mean, we were up, what, $2 after the report. So I don't think that it matters much. You know, I think the weather, in my opinion, matters so much. If you know, Kyle's out there, but the guys that maybe you can speak to this is how are we doing with, you know, cattle on feed, you know, on grass, and the folks down south of you, they can put them on grass instead of, like you said, feed them out and just continue to do that. So I think the market's poised to really, you know, put the leverage in the cowboys' pocket to a degree. I think that's where it is. You know, the cattle market's like a tube of toothpaste to a degree, where you have the front end is the packers. They've really, you know, taken it on the chin the last couple of quarters. It's now starting to move towards the middle part of it where the feedlots are, and you have high expensive feeders. And live, it's not chasing it to a degree. And if corn would rally, that would be an interesting dynamic. So like Kyle said, I think volatility, when you hear guys like us say volatility, you're buying calls. Now, you can buy puts too, but I don't think the market will pay much. But on the call side, what's going to lose you money is boredom. If the market just stays here, you're going to lose. Which, if you're in the futures or you're in physical, you're losing because the carry is going away. And that's the biggest fear here, is that the front month price goes nowhere. and the back ones just fall and just continue to fall into that front price. And, you know, we'll just look back years from now and be like, oh, that was a boring year. But it'll be like, no, the deferred actually fell a dollar, you know, while it was being grown. Those kind of things.
And I know, Kyle, I mean, you feed them. You understand what John was saying when he says throwing it back to the guys in the country.
In essence, that's what you want to see. You want to see those deferred contracts come down to meet the front end, because a bull market wears its horns on the front. It doesn't wear it on its back. You pick this snail up by the tail too many times, it's going to bite, and it's bitten them every time this past year. I mean, we saw all this premium get pumped into those deferred months last summer, you know, July, August, September, and then all of a sudden, hey, it's going to get so good out there, and then all of a sudden we dropped, what, 40, almost 50 bucks in feeders. We dropped 20, 25 bucks in fats. And when you bring up volatility, John, that's a great point. Volatility in live cattle and feeder cattle options is extremely cheap. So for a producer, rancher, you know, end user, grow yard, whatever, to go out there and protect whatever side they need, whether they need to be long, whether they need to be short, have some sort of a cheap insurance policy, volatility is extremely cheap. And that's even going clear out there to those deferred contracts like those August and September feeders. Yes, those puts are still high price in relation, but there's a lot of time value. So you may want to look at some of the spreads. Where is the spring feeders compared to the fall feeders? Maybe it's doing something in the spring against some spring production. And if we have to, you can, if you're exercise short, we can roll it out to a deferred contract, because there is a lot of premium out there in those deferreds right now.
Yeah, I'll say this just on the trade he's talking about in the cattle. You know, the feeder markets are really high, like really high. And I'm not saying it's going to fall tomorrow. It might not fall for a year, but you have the deferred contracts up at 270 on the January 25. When they'll start to roll out to August, you know, and I'm talking cheap volatility, like going out and buying like way out of the money. And that's where you buy enough of those, you can really see your, you know, you can be patient. And that's the hardest thing with buying options, is being patient. It's so hard.
All right, John, before we wrap up, because of your ties to Brazil and South America in general, give us a nutshell of what this weather is really like at this moment, and how you see that as a factor, as the sun's moving in your window. How do you see that as a factor to what we could see next week for these markets?
The weather's good, in my opinion. I mean, I don't want to be bearish. I'm not arguing what, you know, have guys lost their crops or not. But from where I sit, the weather's fine. And the clients we have aren't going to be buying back hedges because the supply isn't there. That's the thing. Like I tell you this all the time. Our Brazilian clients sell the Chicago board. And to buy those back, they're going to buy it back when they sell the physical, which they haven't yet because the bid's fallen, or they don't have the supply, which means they're having a drought or something. Well, that's already over. So the big short cover has to come from the U.S. I mean, I think to drive these guys out of those shorts. So at this point, I think a carry develops. The back end maybe gives you some opportunity here, as it always does. Kyle, you've seen this enough. Susan, you've been around this enough to know there's a vol run every year. I don't know when it'll happen. I have no idea. If I could, I wouldn't be spending my Friday afternoon talking to you guys if I knew.
Well, I appreciate both of you. We are out of time. I appreciate both of you taking the time to talk to us today. Just a real quick reminder to our listeners, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.